can thank Him, all you little children. God is love, God is love.
Thank you, David. Continuing chronologically through the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, we are going to draw a Mother's Day message from it. I am convinced 100% that all Scripture is applicable for all things. We just got to look for it. The reason all Scripture is applicable for all things is because Jesus is in all Scripture and Jesus guides us through all things. So therefore, we can look at any situation we're in with any passage and come up with some guidance. I'm positive that is the case. This continues the Proverbs of the preacher and just reminding you the difference between the Proverbs of Solomon and the Proverbs of the preacher. Both Solomon and the preacher are the same person. They are both Proverbs, but they are very different in their mindset. The book of Proverbs, as Proverbs presented it, is very positive, very encouraging. If you do this, then you can have a better outcome. The book of Ecclesiastes has the Proverbs of the preacher, same type concept, but his point there is there's no point in changing. He sees it as something that's hopeless, just quit now. I submit to you, there's good in everything that God allows in our life. If we don't wrap our head around that subject, we will allow ourselves to get just like Him. There has to be good in everything. Or God is not involved in everything. Now, there's a lot of people who believe that God is not involved in everything. How involved is God in our life? A very common belief is that God loves us, He sent His Son to die for us, and then we just need to work hard to do good for Him until He finally gets to be with us. Okay? That is not what Scripture teaches at all. There's a common belief that God's involved in the big decisions, the big things, protecting us from car accidents, from diseases, and that sort of thing. The problem is that's not what we see in life. We see Christians having just the same big problems that non-Christians have. So how involved is God in our life? Scripture says that God works all things together for good to them that love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. What is all things? Everything, which means there's good in everything. There's another passage that I just picked up on the other day from Ben at Park Ridge. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Four words. The verse ahead of it is something different. The verse after is something different. The whole thought is in those four words. How can we give thanks for everything if God's not involved in everything? Why would we give thanks for everything if God's not involved in everything? So, we have to wrap our head around that if I'm a Christian, and by the way, for non-Christians, it doesn't work. So don't make promises to people you don't know are saved. But people that you know are saved, this is something that we absolutely can guarantee, and I've done it many times. Whatever they're going through, one day, they will see it through God's understanding, through God's eyes, and they're going to say, I am so glad you did it just like that. I wouldn't change a thing on the authority of God's Word. That being said, when it happens to us, it's harder to remember to do. And so this exercise in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is looking for the good that God says is there that Solomon can't see. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, could not see it. So if we can see it, that means we see something he didn't see. And the only way that's going to happen is the Holy Spirit shows it to us. Not everyone can do this. Okay? No one can always do it. Because it takes the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We are practicing that concept. On Mother's Day, we're going to give it just a little bit of a twist, but it's basically the same thing. What a mom might see is the title of the message. What a mom might see. Now, truth be told, all I did was go into my computer and change, God says there's good in this. I just did a mass change to what a mom might see because it's exactly the same concept. What a mom might see. This past week, my grandson got jumped at school. The whole thing was caught on multiple cameras. He did exactly everything right. Everything he did right. I don't know how he controlled himself, but in public school, if you defend yourself, you're in just as much trouble as the guy that attacked you. Which, I don't understand that, but I'm not a school administrator, and so that's up, leave that to the experts. But he did not defend himself, he just stood there and took it till it stopped 45 seconds later, which, when you're getting beat up on 45 seconds, a long time. The kid that provoked it. My daughter said, I'm so glad it's on camera so his mom can see that it wasn't Aiden's fault. I said, Sam, you got another thing coming. Mothers always see what they think is there. The first thing she's going to say is, well, what did Aiden do to provoke it? It'll be the first thing. Okay? Mothers see good in their kids. When there's no good that's there, they will still see good in their kids. And so, as we look at this, look at it from Bathsheba's, Solomon's mother's perspective. What might Bathsheba see in what Solomon is writing, even that he can't see? That sort of thing. It's an exercise. The individual thoughts are not nearly as important as the thought process. So let's take it and we'll just see how we go with it. Verse number 7, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Oppression means constant difficulty. Mad means insane. Constant difficulty will make even a smart person crazy, is what he says there. A gift destroyeth the heart. Now, this is the opposite side of the coin. A gift here, the implication is a bribe. You give someone what they want, and they will change what it is they think they believe, because now they see you as different. And so, a bad situation is bad, and a good situation can be bad. It doesn't matter if people are against us or for us. That is the concept that Solomon is teaching here. No matter what, if people like you, people don't like you, it's still equally bad. I'm not going to ask how many would agree with that, but I do agree with that. I agree with that in concept. People will always let us down. Why? There are no good people. This is a struggle that every church goes through almost on a weekly basis. If this guy said something and he says he's a Christian, I've heard that 1,000 times in my life. A Christian is someone who recognizes they deserve to go to hell. That's all a Christian is. Okay? Sometimes they forget they deserve to go to hell. But all Christians at some point recognize they deserve to go to hell. If they recognize it in themselves, why can't we see it in them? Why in the world would I assume that Bonnie is good? There's no reason to assume Bonnie is good. Oh, but she's so nice. She does so much. Bonnie is a sinner. If Bonnie was such a good person, she wouldn't need Jesus. That's just all there is to it. So what I need to do is expect Bonnie to let me down. See, man, that's awful hard on Bonnie. No, it's what we should do with everybody. Everybody. It doesn't matter if Bonnie's for me or against me. It's irrelevant. It's equally bad. What a mom might see. What a mom might see. What Bathsheba might see. What Bonnie might see if Kevin wrote this statement. What might Bonnie see if Kevin wrote this statement? Bonnie is going to see good in Kevin no matter what, because she is his mother. What might she see? Would she say, Kevin, that's a terribly depressing thing. I can't believe you would write something like that. No, her instinct is, what good might Kevin be seeing in that? Or, what good might there be that Kevin doesn't see that I can show Kevin from it? Say, hey, Kevin, you said that. Let me show you what God has in what you said. Okay? That's the concept. I know that it's got a little confusing. We have to decide to think this way. Is there good in everything or not? If there is, look for it. If there's not, then get depressed like him. It is a choice. It will not change our circumstances at all. It will not make anything better happen. It will not make anything worse happen, because God's plan is going to be done. What it will change is our attitude. It will change our enjoyment in life. What might Bathsheba, Bonnie, God see in this statement? It doesn't matter if people are against us or for us. Exactly the same thing, but with a different emphasis. It doesn't matter if people are for us or against us. Oppression maketh a wise man mad, so it doesn't matter if I get it. A gift destroyeth the heart. It doesn't matter if I get it. I can survive both because I've got God to counteract either one of them. So therefore, this statement the psalmist sees as negative, Bonnie, Bathsheba, God can see it as positive. If we will look for it. We want people to like us. And quite honestly, it bothers us when they don't. Solomon says that's a bad thing. God says that's a good thing. Do not trust people. Whether they like us or not, don't trust people. Scamming is rampant right now. Most of it's coming out of India, but there's even some coming out of Israel. People calling up old people, contacting them through email, saying that you purchased something and you never used it, so we're going to give you a refund. Very, very common scam. Old people are very money conscious because they're on a fixed income, so they don't want anything slipping out by itself. And so old people will respond to this, and by the way, Dad responded to this exact thing. This Dad, he fell for this. The call comes like this. You paid for whatever the product is, whether it's Amazon, whether it's eBay, whether it's antivirus, Norton, they use Norton a lot. But basically, you have paid $295, and that's almost always the amount. You paid $295 for this subscription, but you never used it, so we want to give you your money back. Because old people are aware of scams, they automatically say, just so you know, this is not a scam, I don't want any of your personal information. None of it. Ooh, okay. Well, that's good news. That's good news. I'm going to get some money back, and it's not a scam. Problem is, it is a scam. First thing they want you to do is log into OpenDesk, or AnyDesk, AnyDesk.com. AnyDesk is a program to where one computer can mirror another computer. This computer, a remote computer, can actually do stuff on this computer. There's a lot of different programs, but they like AnyDesk for some particular reason. They say, we're not going to get any information from you. We're just going to put money into your account. And just so you know, we're not scamming you. We need you to log into your bank. You do it. And then we will deposit money into that account as you have it open. There's no way we can take your money. Old people, man, they jump on. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these on YouTube. Once they get into the computer, they say, all right, just so you know, we're not scamming you. We're going to let you type in the number. It's always $295 for some reason. They say, type in 29500. Don't type the period because that messes things up. 29500, the computer automatically puts the period in. So they're in their bank account. They type in 295. Boom. In the background, where the old person can't see it, they, through AnyDesk, have another program open, and you give them the permission. Once you've opened AnyDesk, you give them the permission to access your account, I mean your whole computer. He's in the background, and he's in your savings account, because you've got your bank app open. He's in your savings account. He transfers $29,000. $29,500 from savings into checking. But you're not looking at savings, you're looking at checking. He says, all right, now we've done the $295 transfer. I want you to look at your bank just to prove that you got $295. And I didn't do nothing. You type the numbers in. You check your checking account, and sure enough, there is $29,500 there that was not there before. Immediately he goes nuts. You messed up! You messed up! You typed in the wrong numbers. So you taught me to type, you said 29500. No, no, you typed in 295000. And the old person, they can't remember exactly what they typed. And so now, in their checking account is $29,500. It really came from the savings account, but they're not watching the savings account. You say, boy, it'd be nice to have that much money in my... There's a lot of people with this much money in their savings account because they're depending on it to live on the rest of their life. Now then, if you don't give me that money back, I'm going to get fired. But because of the way we're set up, I can't have access to your bank account. I need you to send the money. Here's the problem. He is not who he says he is, and he doesn't want us to know who he says who he is. And so what he wants to do is, we're going to do this quietly so that my manager doesn't know what we're doing. I need you to go and buy gift cards. They come in $500 amounts. You buy whatever, $29.5 divided by 5, yes. That many gift cards. And don't tell anybody what you're doing, because I don't want to get in trouble. You don't want me to get fired, right? You made this mistake. I don't want you to get me fired. And so, okay, we'll get, people do this stuff all the time. They get back to the phone with all these gift cards, and immediately he says, all right, tell me the numbers on the back, and we will put this money in step by step by step. As he does that, he gains $29,500 from that old person, and the old person has no idea he did anything. Happens every day, all the time. Don't trust people. Don't. But he seems so nice. That's called a con job. Okay? Con jobs have been around for thousands and thousands of years. But these people are in another country, and our country doesn't do anything to enforce anything against them. They just let them have it. And I don't get that. I really don't get that. I would love our government to go after the governments of these people. Because it's always two or three different countries that are involved. India is by far the worst at it. In fact, I'm going to say something now that's so politically incorrect, you won't believe it, but I'm going to say it. Okay, if you're talking to a person on the phone from India, hang up. I don't care if they're legit or not. All the scammers have that accent. All of them do. But political correctness is, I can't be racist. All right. If we would just do that one thing, we'd eliminate 90% of scams. Just if it's a foreigner, don't talk to them. Dan, I can't believe you're saying that. My dad got took. They did not get his money. Okay, where did Dad get that kind of money? They sold Ramona's house. Okay, her house in Melbourne. They sold his house in Park Ridge. And so they're living off of that money, plus Social Security, plus whatever it is they make from the church. This scammer had Dad convinced he owed the money. Ramona got wind of it and called me. She said, something's not right. And as soon as she told me the story, I knew it, because I listen to stuff on YouTube all the time. Scam, scam, scam. And it's always the same story. But it's confusing to the old person. The scammer in India, he doesn't have anything. He thinks America stole everything, all they had from his country in years past. And so he's politically justified to steal the money back. The old person really doesn't need it because their family will take care of them anyway. No losers. Unless it's your dad. I'm telling you, folks, don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone. Even at church. People will hurt us. But people at church are supposed to be good. They're not. They're not. It doesn't matter if people are against us or for us. Irrelevant. Don't trust them. Trust God. The best way that I have found to stop online predators is to shut down online banking. Just shut it down. If you don't need it, don't have it. And a lot of old people have online banking because it's the newest, greatest thing. Shut online banking down. Second, don't do anything same day. I like the three-day rule. Person gives you a call, I got to talk to my family. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Urgency is involved in every single scam. Don't buy into it. People will hurt us. If we don't have the online banking, they can't do anything. Because they cannot access our computer and our online bank account. They've got to do all the stuff in the background. If we don't have it, they can't do it. It's sad that we have to say this stuff in church. It's sad. But when it hits your pastor, you know there's a lot of it. Don't trust people. Don't see it as a negative thing like Solomon does. See it as a positive thing. Like God says, there is good there. What is the good there? It helps me guard against those people. I don't have to figure out if they're being good or being bad. I know they're being bad because that's their sin nature in them. Does anyone, and don't answer out loud, just raise your hand, does anyone see something different in that that's good? Okay, that's all right. I've studied this stuff for weeks, and this is what the Lord has showed me. But Scripture is powerful, it's alive, and the Holy Spirit will use this verse to teach a truth to Terry different than He'll teach to me if we will both take time to study it. But the truths, by the way, this is important, the truths that He teaches Terry and I will not contradict. Okay, if it's from the Holy Spirit, it's always going to agree because it's from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Terry's not going to see something totally different in that. But he may see emphasis on a different word. He may see a different application for it. The truth will not change. The application will change in every individual case. That's why we want to practice. We want to get in there and discover how it all works so that when it does happen, we're familiar with how it works. Last Sunday night, we got to Park Ridge, and they, in the service, do prayer requests. Any prayer requests? They also say any praises. Well, like all churches, there's tons and tons of prayer requests and almost no praises. For whatever reason, we see bad in everything. Ramona had been taken to the hospital. We didn't know the situation at that time. And I said, I've got a praise. They said, what's your praise? I said, Ramona's in the hospital right now. They said, well, what's good in that? I said, I don't know, but God says there's good in it. I want you to pray, thank you for what you're doing. And that's what they did. Thank you for what you're doing with Ramona. You know what? The whole service was positive instead of negative. It didn't change Ramona. All it did was change us. It gives hope. It gives confidence in the activity of God in our life. Or, maybe like that. Another thing that I like to watch on YouTube is a lot of car accidents and stuff like that caught on camera. The stupid drivers and that sort of thing. Michelle won't watch it. She says, that makes me terrified to go on the road. I said, Michelle, don't see it that way. See it as a reminder that I've got to be careful. That's why I watch it. That, in fact, I think it's funny. But still, I watch it to remind myself. I drive all day long every day. Remind yourself to be careful of them. Remind myself that there are bad people on the road that are going to hit me if I give them the chance. There's good in everything in a Christian's life if we will look for it. If we won't look for it, we get to be depressed. Up to us what's going to happen. Again, it's not going to change the facts of anything. It's not going to make good things happen. It's not going to make bad things stop happening. We will just stop seeing them as bad. Let's look at the next one. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Take a minute and see if you can find something good in that. Solomon is not saying it's a good thing. Solomon sees it's a bad thing. He's saying it's hopeless. Don't even try. There's good in everything God gives us. God gave us this first. So what is the good that could be there? Take a minute and see if you can find it. what I came up with may be totally different than what the Lord shows you. Again, the individual proverb is not nearly as important as the thought process. All right. I don't want to take a whole lot of time on this, but does anyone see a good thing that could be there? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Okay, Ray sees something. That's good. Bonnie sees something. Wade sees something. Laura sees something. We're getting more hands. Now, last week we only had one or two. Now we got four. Okay? Not everybody's going to see this stuff. And almost never will everybody see the exact same thing, but they won't disagree. All right? Here is what I saw. Okay? The end has... The end has experience of what worked and what didn't. Okay, hindsight's 20/20 is what that basically says. Okay, is what Solomon is saying. He said, when we get to the end, we're going to have the information we didn't have at the beginning. Patience will help much more than ambition is the concept of the proverb. Patience will help much more than ambition. Is that what we see in the business world today? I think, yes, it is what we see in the business world today. But there's a lot of people that have patience and no ambition to get nowhere. There's a lot of people with ambition and no patience to get nowhere. You combine the two together, and then you've got Jeff Bezos. Okay, Jeff Bezos, the guy that started Amazon.com out of his garage. Okay, he had a dream, and he worked it, made the right moves, and now he's got Amazon. I don't know if y'all heard this. In his divorce decree, half of what he had went to his ex-wife, and he was still the richest man alive. She just became the richest woman alive. That's how much Amazon is worth, through patience and ambition. But if all we have is ambition and no patience, then there's thousands and thousands and thousands of internet people who tried to do an Amazon and failed and lost everything. Thousands of them. Because they did not take the time to do it correctly. What a mom might see in this. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. What Bathsheba might see, what Bonnie might see if Kevin had written this. Winning is not the only benefit, is what I see in that. Winning is not the only benefit. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The end doesn't have to be a win. The end can be a total quote-unquote failure, but we learn. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Patient is someone who has, in fact, lost before. He knows how to lose, and it doesn't devastate him. So therefore, this is now not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. But only because we chose to look for it. As we go through Scripture, we have to do this every time. If we're negative, we will always see negative. If we're positive, we will always see positive. None of it is going to change based on how we see it. It's simply going to change if we enjoy life or not. I'm going to use you as an illustration. I hope you forgive me. Okay? Brad is here today. Is that good or bad?
Good.
You better say it's good, all right? But Jody's not here. Is that bad or good?
Good.
Okay? You could choose to say, Jody didn't come, it's a terrible Mother's Day. You could say, Brad did come, it's a great Mother's Day. Doesn't change anything. But how do you enjoy it? Okay? Today is Mother's Day. I am not going to see Michelle or Ramona until late tonight. So you're not spending Mother's Day with your family? No, I got responsibilities here. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Depends on how you see Mother's Day. Okay? The ride over here this morning without those two mothers was so nice. If I thought they would listen on sermon audio, I would actually delete that. But they're not going to listen on sermon audio. That's okay. That's between them and the Lord. Okay? We can choose to see life as negative. We can choose to see life as positive. Bottom line, it will change how much we enjoy life. Let's look at the next one. Verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Don't get angry quick. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Getting upset won't help.
A lot of angry people know this, and a lot of angry people cannot control it. Anger just comes out of them. I'm not going to ask you if that is you. These people know who they are, and I'm one of them. Okay? I've told you this many times before. I have one of the worst tempers of anybody I've ever met, and I've got to fight continually to keep it under control, which is one of the reasons why I choose to think in a positive way. If I don't, I will hate everybody and everything. That's just how my brain works. Getting upset won't help. So why do we do it? It's our sin nature. It's in us. If all we do is react to things, it's always going to be negative. That's what we do. Solomon has said this several times in Proverbs, and again, I believe the difference here in Ecclesiastes is he realizes it includes him. He's never had this stuff happen to him before. All the way up until the Queen of Sheba, Solomon was never told no. He had nothing but success. Everything was wonderful and great, and then she left, and he couldn't handle it. Now he realizes all this stuff that I talked about as being good, it doesn't feel good. Now it includes me. What a mom might see. Be not hasty in thy spirit to get angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. What a mom might see. What Bathsheba might see. What Bonnie might see. What Tracy might see. Take a second and look and see if you can find something good in there. This was not as hard, but it may not be as clear, easy, either. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. What might a mom see? Anybody got an idea? Don't tell me what it is, but you got an idea? All right. This is what I saw. We can prevent ourselves from making things worse. We can prevent ourselves from making things worse. I could totally see Bathsheba going, I don't know if she's still alive now or not. Probably not. But I could totally see her going to Solomon and say, Solomon, what you just said there is not a bad thing. But you're looking at it all wrong. You're making things worse. Now, I don't know if she knew exactly what he's writing as he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes, but his demeanor certainly has changed. The situation in Israel is certainly responding to him as their king. So I don't see how she could not see that things have definitely changed in her son's life. So what might she say? Solomon, watch your attitude. Watch your attitude. Again, she may have, I don't know, it's not recorded if she's even alive or not, but let's suppose that she did. That's something a mother can see. Mothers see good in their children. Even if there's none there to be seen, they still see it. That's what makes them so wonderful. You may see something different. Again, the challenge is not to understand this one proverb. The challenge is to understand the thought process. Let's look at another one, verse 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. The good old days were not really the good old days, is what he's saying there. We romanticize the past. What does that mean? We choose to forget the bad in the past and look at the good. It's the exact opposite of what we do to the present. The present, we look for the bad and ignore the good. But in the past, we look for the good and ignore the bad. Oh, it was so much better back then. It was so much better back then. It was so much better back then. All of us have said that because we all think it. But it's not because it was better. It's we choose to ignore the bad stuff. The good old days were not really the good old days. Say not thou, what's the cause of the former days were better than these. He said, don't even think about that. It's not a wise thing to think about. What a mom might see. What God might be saying in there that's actually good. Don't say the good old days were the good old days. What's the good that could be there? Take a minute and think about it. I know this is not easy. It's a choice. It's a process because our sin nature is just opposite of it. We have to choose to look for the good. If we don't, we will never see it. What is the good that could be in the good old days or not really the good old days? Anybody see anything? All right, that's all right. Lori sees one. That's good.
This is what I saw. Could be totally different than yours. It's not going to disagree if they both come from the Holy Spirit, though. There is good today. There is good today. Now, I believe Solomon is trying to say there's not good anytime. But that's not exactly the truth of the verse or the proverb. The truth is there is good today. The good old days eventually we'll be talking about today. Okay? None of us have been as old as we are now, ever. None of us have. And we all look back, romanticizing, that's the term, looking at the good that we had in our youth. Oh man, I would love it so much if I was young. I could change this, I could change that. I could do that and not do that. I could buy Amazon stock, that sort of thing. It'd be so nice if we could go back to where we were before, but you know what? We're here now. Now is going to be the good old days in the future. So look for the good now. This falls directly in line with what we're trying to do in this whole concept. Look for the good that is in fact there. See these as the good old days. Or we can be depressed. How many people, I'm curious, I want you to be honest, how do you like being depressed? Raise your hand. So why do we do it? Why would Solomon do it? I submit to you, it's one thing. We want what we want, and God's not giving it to us. I believe what Solomon wanted was the Queen of Sheba, and God's not giving her to him. I believe that he has collected 1,000 wives, and he's close to being done at this point. He has collected 1,000 wives looking for someone that's close to her, and I think it was the intelligence that he was drawn to. He is going after all the different women he could possibly find just to find someone close to her, and God's saying, nope, can't have her. Can't have her. We want what we want. And when God doesn't give us what we want, we pout like little babies. Why? When has God ever let us down? On the other hand, how many times have I wanted something that I got that I wish I never got? Okay? That happens a lot. Happens a lot. Man, I wish I'd have never gotten that, but I wanted it so bad and I was able to do it. This is one of the problems of rich people, is they're able to make stuff happen. In America, no one's ever been as rich as us. Even the poor people here have cell phones. It's amazing the stuff that we can do even if we have nothing today. We are the richest people in the history of the world. We don't want to admit it. That's why scammers bother us. That's why people who take advantage bother us. Look for the good. Let's do another one. Verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. Here, don't get hung up on it being inheritance or free money. Look at it as just money in general. Wisdom is good if you have money. Wherever you got it from, wisdom is good if you have money. By it, there's profit to them that see the sun. If you have wisdom and money, it's better than having wisdom and no money. Wisdom is more effective with money, is basically what he's saying there. What a mom might see. What if you don't have any money? Bathsheba would have a harder time with this because her kid had money. All of her kids always had money because she was married to Solomon. I mean, she was married to David. Okay, she was always wealthy. Even under Uriah the Hittite, she had to have money because he was a war hero. So let's leave Bathsheba out at this point. What might a mom say to a son or a daughter that's having financial difficulty? Anybody got an idea? Laura's got one. Again, don't get hung up on, I can't do this. With the Holy Spirit's help, you can do it. It's just a matter of learning to think this way. It's a matter of learning to look for it. Okay? Money does not have to be a problem. Money does not have to be a problem. Wisdom is good with money. By wisdom and money, there's profit to them to see the sun. Why would God
not finance a good project. Okay? Let's put some teeth on this. Okay? I'm not sure exactly where you're at in your job search, but let's go ahead and call Wade here. Okay? Wade, as far as I know, is faithful with his money. Okay? Wade does good things the way he should with his money. That's the way that I'm going to assume. Okay, now then, Wade has lost his job several times, been able to replace it. At this point in time, it's not completely settled to a new job like you want, right? That's pretty much where we're at. Why would God do that? Okay, wisdom is good with money, but God took Wade's money away. Why would God do that? Doesn't make sense. But there's good in everything. So what could the good be in Wade having wisdom but not money to back it up? What could the good be? Let's bring it home. Let's suppose that the scammer got us as individuals. All of us got scammed at once. All of our bank accounts are empty. We are all so broke that Brad's going to have to walk all the way back across the United States. There's no money for anybody. What good could there possibly be in that? Give it a think. This was not easy, but give it a think. What good could there possibly be in that? Anybody got an idea? Right now, on our mind is thinking, stay away from bad people, they'll take advantage of you. Hang on to your money. What are we not doing? We're not praying for the Lord's help. See, if we all got took, and by the way, I'm doing it to you right now, your bank accounts are all getting empty right now, you're just being distracted. All of us get took, there's no money, what are we going to do? We're all going to get on our knees and pray. God has done this millions of times throughout history just to get people to turn to Him. There's actually going to be a principle coming up in Ecclesiastes that said God brings problems just so we will turn to Him. Solomon's going to see this as a bad thing, but it's actually a very, very good thing because now we're getting closer to Him instead of being drawn farther away from Him. I'm not eager to go through that, but poor people with wisdom tend to be more effective than rich people with wisdom because there are very few rich people with wisdom. Very few. Rich people with wisdom tend to know how to get money, not tend how to use it correctly. We're going to go ahead and stop here. We'll pick this up again next week. Dad's not going to be preaching at 11. I'm going to be preaching at 11. I wanted to possibly do this at 11, I'm not going to because this is kind of hard work. And 11 is going to be a little less difficult, a little easier to swallow. But I challenge you, just decide to remember if there's good there if I look for it. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word teaches us so many things to make this life better without changing our circumstances. And quite honestly, we choose not to get in your word and look for it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please draw us to your word. Draw us to the good that's there. Draw us to the things we need to do to make your life better and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.